Hello, and welcome to Sampling Sound, Text, and Praxis, student and teacher as producer in a somewhat open source course. I'm Justin Young, Director of English Composition and the Writers Center at Eastern Washington University. During this audio reflection, I'll give listeners a glimpse into my experience teaching a sound writing course for first-year college students about and designed according to the concept of remix. I'll talk about the cultural and pedagogical theories that inform my design and implementation of the class, as well as the specific assignment sequence that serves as the core of the curriculum for the course, how all of this relates to student engagement and integrative learning, as well as the challenges that arose in relation to my effort to promote open source approaches, which ended up running counter to the culture of sampling that was fostered within the course itself. Finally, I'll be touching on samples of student work from the class, along with my own reflection on the learning experience I shared with my students while teaching the course. So, you might guess that one of my favorite things is hip-hop. Ever since middle school, I've loved rap, especially the kind with a lot of samples. My favorite album of 8th grade, and one of my favorites to this day, was De La Soul's 3 Feet High and Rising, produced by the incomparable Prince Paul, which is universally recognized as a masterpiece of the art of sampling. Of course, now, as Questlove pointed out, the only rappers that can afford to make hip-hop with samples are Kanye and Jay-Z, but I digress, though we will have more on that later. So why am I talking about my favorite things? I want to get this started by briefly discussing how important and effective it is to help students make connections between their favorite things, the things that they love and care about, and whatever's going on in the classroom. Researchers like Melissa Peet, Director of Integrative Learning and Knowledge Management at the University of Michigan, point out that Bloom's taxonomy only focuses on the rational cognitive components of learning, leaving out entirely any role that affect or emotion or the body itself might have in learning something new. Proponents of integrative learning therefore advocate embodied pedagogies that focus on encouraging students to tell stories and reflect in order to help them make connections between their own interests and passions and the classroom. In fact, additionally, as Christy Price points out, a teacher's own passion for a subject can have a positive impact on student learning. So I'm here to tell you that based on my experience teaching this course, the framework of remix in particular, and sound writing in general, are particularly useful for encouraging and facilitating the kind of embodied integrative learning I've just described. But before I go any further, I want to take a moment to define and contextualize the term remix and how it relates to the sound writing course I'm discussing. Let's start with the original meaning of remix, which is all about sound. It's a type of music production that developed in a particular historical moment, namely in the Jamaican dance hall scene and then in the Bronx at the birth of hip-hop in the early 70s, as DJs like Kool Herc and Grandmaster Flash pioneered the techniques of turntablism, pun intended, using record players to isolate and extend breaks, sampling and remixing the music of others to create new jams, and of course, to keep the party moving. Remix can also be used as a term to denote a new era of creative production, applicable to many disciplines and industries, marked by a shift from what Lawrence Lessig calls read-only culture to the current read-write culture, in which previously passive viewers now create original content by sampling and remixing and distributing that content freely online. And of course, the concept of remix is used in CompRet to understand and describe the processes of writing and multimodal composing in the digital age. So why is this framework and topic of remix so useful in promoting the kind of integrative embodied learning I talked about earlier? To put it simply, at its most elemental level, encouraging students to remix, to create texts like a hip-hop producer would, gives them license to start the creative process with material they care about and build from there, creating new texts using pieces of things they're already invested in. This seems like a good moment to shift gears and actually talk about the assignment sequence that I'm here to share. For each of these assignments, students are provided specific directions, requiring them to sample existing material in order to create a new text. In other words, students are encouraged to engage in the steps of the remix process, copy, transform, and combine, which Kirby Ferguson establishes in his video series, Everything's a Remix. Additionally, the assignments necessitate the use of this remix formula as a framework for the analysis of remixed texts. The first assignment, a gateway activity that introduces students to the world of sound writing, asks them to write about sound by responding to a playlist of songs produced via remix. The next assignment, the remix analysis, a team presentation, asks students to work in production teams to present in audio form an analysis of some kind of primarily audio text. The third project, the analysis essay, is a more traditional composition assignment, which frames research-based writing as a process of copying, transforming, and combining. For the final project, the audio-visual remix, students work in teams to produce a primarily audio text by remixing other texts. All of these assignments enable the student producer to either write about or produce media based on the stuff they themselves care about. I learned, however, that this fact, while a strength from the student engagement perspective, was a complicating factor in my effort to design and produce an open source course. My original goal for the design of this course was that it would be entirely open source. That is, all of the materials used by and produced by students would be freely available and remixable. It quickly became clear that this aim was unrealistic, at least as far as student products were concerned. I was able to provide a course reading list and a music video playlist out of material that students could access freely online, and I did begin designing the course with an open source resource, Copy the Syllabus, as a starting point for the course design. Though the model I found was for a graduate course, which needed to be adapted to first-year students. A list of reading, songs, and videos I used for the class can be found in the written portion of this chapter. This commitment to open source design and production couldn't be maintained, however, when students started producing their own remixes. For one thing, the culture of sampling, which still permeates online DIY artistic production and was fostered by the course itself, was counter to an effort to ensure that everything students sampled and remixed came from something like Creative Commons. That is, my open source ethic ran up against the realities of remix culture. This experience is consistent with how remix proponents like Lessig and Cory Doctorow describe the challenge of squaring the ways in which digital art can be and is produced with our antiquated and corporate-leaning copyright laws. Such scholars argue that current intellectual property law unnecessarily limits creative production, a point that's confirmed by the Questlove comment I noted earlier. When only Jay-Z and Kanye can afford to sell albums with samples, there's a problem. Students did, however, produce remixed texts for my class out of copyrighted material. I would argue that this is fair use, since no one is looking to sell any of these products, and the only major audience for the creations was the class itself. It does pose a challenge for this chapter, though. Just to be safe, I won't be including as sample student texts any of the remixed texts my students created via sampling copyrighted texts. I will briefly describe a few, however. Student 1 sampled and created a mashup of Heroin by Badflower and My Boy by Billie Eilish. She had never done any music production before, but managed to learn enough about how to use GarageBand, Apple's entry-level recording software, to combine two songs to create a single remix song that was moving, as well as musically and thematically coherent. Student 2 sampled and remixed what he called an old-school rap and beat by Biggie Smalls with what he called new-wave raps and beats, including work by YG and Drake. His idea was to remix a Biggie rap from the song Juicy over a current new-wave beat, then transition to current artists like YG and Drake rapping over a beat from the original Biggie song. He wrote in his producer's statement that the remix, quote, came out better than I expected, and he continued writing that, quote, tons of people from the dorm said that the remix was really good and I should post it on YouTube, which made him feel like, quote, I went from knowing nothing about how remix is used to making a remix myself that people wanted me to publish. Student 3 was a more experienced music producer, someone who'd done a fair amount of hip-hop production and performance prior to the class. He created his own beats for two recent hip-hop songs, one from Future called Covered in Money, and another by Young Thug, Nassau. His beats are in fact featured in this audio reflection, as I sampled and chopped parts of his remix that didn't include copyrighted vocals. I should mention that for at least two of these students, this kind of audio production was a real stretch of their abilities. As I mentioned above, the student who mashed up the two songs, Heroin and My Boy, had never used any audio production software, and yet somehow over the course of apparently 5 hours, learned enough about GarageBand to produce a seamless and affecting remix. Another student, as I noted earlier, was surprised by how good his final remix ended up and got peer feedback confirming his success. For my part, I must note that producing this chapter was a learning experience for me, too. Like my students, in order to produce the very segment that you're listening to now, I had to push myself to try a new kind of composing and producing, learning to use audio software in ways I never had before. While I've done a fair amount of music production, along with a couple of local public radio appearances, I've never produced anything podcast-like, so to speak. Writing and recording in this way was challenging but enjoyable, and it gave me a much better sense of how writing for sound is a unique rhetorical experience. Based on this experience, my plan for the future version of this course is to require students to produce their own audio podcast reflections on the class. While the course sequence, specifically the Remix Analysis Team Presentation assignment, allows for and encourages students to produce spoken audio segments, this is one of two options for the assignment, and most students take the other, which is why there aren't any student samples for this particular assignment in the chapter. In the future, I want to ensure that students gain experience in producing a spoken audio segment, so they will not only write about and produce sound, they will write for sound. And finally, while I haven't included the audio remixes produced by students using copyrighted material, I have included such a text that I produced. The music that began this program and that you're hearing now includes samples from John Coltrane's cover of My Favorite Things. It's my attempt to create a trap version of what Maria sang for the Von Trapp children in The Sound of Music. Get it? Which brings me back to what I believe is a real strength of this class. My experience suggests that the design of this course encouraged embodied, affective learning, as students were able to write about and produce new versions of artistic and cultural texts that they wanted to engage with, because those texts mattered to them outside of the classroom. This remixed course enabled them to design and produce new pieces of written and audio texts by sampling and remixing their own favorite things.